Blog Talk Radio.
Malcolm X.
A song for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who paved the way, lit the day. We owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must do is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song.
A tribute.
Their seed and their spawn, their progenitors of humanity. They named the moon and the dawn. What we must do is understand the divine role we are to play, and our children will love us, and our names they will gladly claim in tribute. Lit the day, we owe them so much that it's impossible for us to pay. Let me say, what we must learn is illuminate the path for those who are to come. And then our name will be called in the words of some future song of tribute. Yeah, this is a piece for the ancestors, brothers and sisters who've been here and gone. Face down the oppression so that our role could be lessened, who helped us to know that we are part of the chain of life, and we owe to our children the same thing. We need to be the children they stand on, and if we live our lives correctly,
yes, whose names we do not know and whose names that we yet to hear. How is everyone? Today is Sunday, 7/11/2021. Thank you for tuning in to the narrative today with Brother Barry Jabril and Brother Wali Muhammad. I'd like to say thank you to those of you who tune in to the narrative every week, or when you get an opportunity to listen to us also during the week through the archives. Thank you so much. And, you know, I just want to kind of give some black thanks out there to Brother Ishmael Muhammad, the great brother who guided me into the knowledge of the Nation of Islam over 30 plus years ago. And all of us who came into this great knowledge, you know, you were introduced your way into this knowledge. Now, some may have came through other means, spiritual means, but for the most part, you came into someone who was a believer in this that introduce you to the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, or you may have had some people that probably gave you a tape or a book or something that kind of piqued your interest into the nation. So I want to thank those people who have done that in the past, up until the present and yet to be in the future. Brother Kenny Muhammad, I want to say thank you. You're there in Mexico listening to us, and Brother Derek Muhammad in Atlanta, Georgia, listening to us. And we have new listeners. I want to mention their names, only the first names, which is Brother Tyrone and Sean, who is listening in to the narrative today. They're first-time listeners. And you know, today also we have Mexico listening, Germany listening, South Africa, Canada, Brazil, India. So, you know, we're not just a national program. We also are an international program. And what better way to have such of a program to hit the type of topics that we have to be on a universal scale with this? You know, no matter where you live in the world, somewhere, especially in this dispensation of time, you're catching hell. The sun is burning hotter than it used to be. There's more increase in rain that's causing mudslides, increase in snow. Did you see how much snow fell last year? Whoa. So, you know, you're catching hell wherever you're at. However, it don't have to be that way. And that's for another show. However, when you in the vein of truth, and you in the vein of understanding, then to see these things would not be such of a shock or surprise to you. So I just want to say that for a start. Let me bring in our brother, open up his mic. Brother Wiley Muhammad, you here with me today, sir?
Yes, sir, brother, I'm here.
All right. As-salamu alaykum, dear brother.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, sir. Today, we're going to go straight to our topic because it's a very important topic today, because and it's also life-changing. Not only is it, as it is life-changing, it is also life-saving today. The name of the topic is the importance of language in these troubled times. The importance of language. Why is language so important? You know, in the Supreme Wisdom by Master Farad Muhammad, language is stressed five times within the instructions to the laborer section. Five. As we talked about last week week before last, because we had a break. Week before last, the science of self, our relation to the earth show. I mentioned that the number five is the number of power. What is the power that drives the nation? What is this nucleus that drives and powers the nation of Islam? It is the word from a living and supreme ruling God whose direct word fused his nation of Islam here in the Western Hemisphere. The power of God is found in his direct words to his messenger, and if you choose to drink in those direct words, then advancement will be yours to be embraced. No, dear brother, and that's what it should be today. We should be looking for more advancement. As things are being torn down around us, the righteous is looking forward, and they're trying on certain scales to advance. But what are we advancing to? No, advancement, we're advancing to see the glorious working of the inner world within, that Jesus called the kingdom of God, that is already living inside of you. It's already within you. You are the chosen people of God. This is something we want you to understand today. The black people of the Western Hemisphere, you are the architects and the builders of this emerging kingdom that we have no end in sight. It will have no end in sight. You, my people, are the builders that are charged with this awesome task of building a God civilization, just as you did with the building of the pyramid and all of the great civilization wonders found on this planet. So I want to talk about language today. Your words, dear brother.
You want to talk about language?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think the best way for me to start talking about language, I had this conversation recently. Is basically defining it. And I looked at it and I thought about it. And so I kind of wrote my idea of what I thought language was. And I said language is an attempt to transmit vocally with symbols or through signaling a perception, idea, message, concept, or thought to another life form. The other life form must have the receptors to receive and process the input.
Right.
So that's my perception or idea, one may say, of language and what it is. I mean, when you really look at it, you're trying to transmit or convey something to another life form. And when you say signaling, messaging,
right.
I do that all the time in my profession as being a professional dog trainer.
Right.
This dog is another life form. It's not human.
That's right.
Yet, I'm able to communicate to this animal and understand what it's communicating to me by understanding the principle of language.
I like that, bro. And the reason why I like that is because, especially with the definition that you gave, because it touches on so many dynamics. But you know, language is definitely a converting tool. It's a converting tool. And I'm looking at, you know, why is language so important in the shaping, developing, and fashioning of the universe as well, and our civilization? You know, throughout the galaxy. See, our people are going to have to get to the point to where they got to get out of thinking that they are the only one in the universe. You know, we, for the most part, the people that I speak to, come into contact with, some folks, you know, they ponder that question, are we the only ones in the universe? Well, you know, I don't think God is a limiting God, you know what I'm saying? That he stopped creating after he created you. And this universe is so big and so vast to where, of course, there's other life forms somewhere else. You know, why limit ourselves to, and that's one of the things that you have always stressed on this program. We got to stop limiting ourselves. And just because some language, sir, go ahead.
No, please, you go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Yeah, just because you only see something in one vein, that don't mean it's the only vein to life. And that's all I want to say on that. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was simply about to say that when you limit yourself, you make your own box to live in.
Right.
And people always talk about you got to go outside the box. Well, if you keep making these boxes for yourself to live in, you know, then that's the environment that you will circulate in.
Right. Right.
What's outside, you won't connect with.
That's right. That's exactly right, because, you know, the beauty about language is that, you know, it sits at the root of all things that we have came to experience and to know in this life and beyond. It's real foolish of us to think that language does not matter. Language matters. After we finish this today, you're going to understand that language does matter, and language can... Because language helps to also separate and divide as well. You know, to hear somebody talking about, well, language doesn't matter. You know, I have to ask this question again. What kind of fool are you? Without language, there would be no education. There would be no understanding. And the building of civilization and exploration without language, that could not have happened. So how in the hell can any man or woman claim to understand the wisdom of God but cannot recognize the language of God when they hear it? Now, here we are. We're in the nation. You know what I'm saying? So there are certain words and phrases that we speak to where we know when we are instinctively hear that, you know, that man got that from the teachers on Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That man was read the supreme wisdom. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a common language that developed out of the practitioners, by the practitioners. You know, the language of the nation is the language of the supreme wisdom, as taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You know, the culture of the nation was developed out of the language of the supreme wisdom, which is the mind of Master Farad Muhammad, who had to change the language and the thought pattern of the eternal master teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who in turn infected us with the same teachings and mindset of the master himself. Transfer, as what you have stated in the definition on language that you gave, brother.
Yeah,
and you're absolutely right about them receptors.
Yeah, because there's no way for you to grasp it if you can't receive the input. See, it's
right.
The input. If I signal you or message you. That is an input going towards you.
Right.
Whether or not you can receive it depends on whether or not you have the receptors to receive it. If you have the receptors to receive it, then there's a connection made. And when that connection is made, then the processing begins, and it goes so forth and so on. And you get a reply
right
after the message or idea has been transmitted that you receive, and you get a reply after it's been processed
right
to an appropriate reply to the message that was sent.
That's right. That's right.
That lets the other life form know that it was received and understood.
Yeah.
In accordance with what was sent.
Right. That's right. it's always kind of interesting, like whenever you look at animals and how the animals relate to each other. Like I sit up and I watch these feral cats, and they could be like sitting around in your backyard. They're just sitting there. And another cat will probably be coming by. But see, they know how they move, you know what I'm saying? And I was wondering why this cat was looking in a direction and I didn't see nothing. Then next thing I noticed, the other cat came through the gate. But the cat that was just laying there, you know, they just know their movements and their habits. And they do communicate with each other because I watch how this mother cat called for her kittens to come out of hiding. Just like they got their own language, but I don't know, brother. Since you train dogs, whenever you look at dogs, see another dog, and then some of that energy rise up in them, they want to challenge the other dog. You know what I'm saying? What is the cause of something like that?
Well, becoming, and just say, and having that ability, and me acquiring that ability,
right,
to be able to interpret their signaling and messaging, and to do it accurately, I had to study that.
Right.
And I've been studying it for some time now. And so they know that I understand when in my signaling back to them, they get it. And they respond showing me that they got it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a funny thing, it happens all the time. While I have a client here and I'm teaching the client what to do in regards to proper communication with the animal, the animal is looking at them and the animal is looking at me. And the animal
right
knows that I'm the one who is doing that, who is making that possible. So, and I know through their behavior that they, what, exhibit. And so
right,
one of my clients was calling, unlocked a kennel, and was calling her dog to herself. And the dog came out and came straight to me. And this happens quite frequently.
Right.
It's just they are aware, they know, they can see the process, they can receive, they can see the signaling, and they understand that well. And they know what I represent. And what I represent in that equation is I'm the... Let's say it in a matrix sense, I am the one.
You know what's so interesting about that? The dog just get out and just come to you. It's like the dog coming to you saying, man, help me, please.
Well, that's true. A lot of times they say that because they have been in contact with humans who are sold themselves. Let's say, untuned. And as a result of it, the dog don't understand, is not able to communicate with the human.
Right.
And when the dog sees that I'm able to communicate with it, it is relieved of that stress. Because prior to that, the animal is walking around with just full of stress, which makes the animal's life horrible with a human being.
Right.
And so I tell humans all the time, one of the signs I have posted, first of all, I wrote something on behalf of the dog so that the humans would have some idea of what their dog is going through, living in a human world.
Right.
And it starts with, dear human, I am an animal. Dog is my species. I do not know how to live in your world. It's up to you to teach me. It's up to you to lead me. See, to teach and to lead, because this is what the dog is accustomed to in its world. It's accustomed to being taught in its world and being led in this world. And so when it comes to the human don't realize that when it takes that young puppy, it becomes the surrogate. And when it becomes the surrogate, it is responsible for teaching and educating the dog how to live in the human world and leading it as well. And what it must lead the dog to is success. If it's not able to do that, then the dog remains conflicted. And being conflicted, that's when the whole community have a problem, human community, have a problem with that animal. So it goes into a lot of other things. But my awareness of this communication allows me to profit greatly, should I say, by that skill and ability that I have to do that. People come to me and is willing to pay me comfortably learn how to communicate with the animal where they can have a good life with that animal.
Right.
That animal can have a good life with them.
Yeah, very interesting. And as you were speaking, I was also looking at as well, how all that is interrelated, even to us as humans.
Yes.
A lot of it is. Yeah.
Yes.
Quite a bit of it is. And you know, the beauty, the beauty on what you sharing is that you know, words are words are very powerful. I mean, they really are. I mean, like the Bible even said that in the beginning was the Word, you know. Deal with when you're talking to, when you're dealing with an animal, animal can pick up on the words, but for the first meeting with them, what would you say, brother, that energy plays an important role in that, learning how to channel energy?
Well, energy plays a major role in what you're doing. And you have to be acquainted with how to use it to achieve what it is you're striving for if you want to be successful.
Right.
So one of the things that I do, without going into detail of it, is I show a human being how to use their energy and convey it to the animal that they are higher in the order than is the animal.
Right.
And see if the animal will subject itself to that. And when the people do as I instruct, they are amazed one way or the other, because if he will not, if the dog will not subject himself to that, then you'll get a different you will get a different response from the dog than what you desire. If you began to press him or pressure the dog with your energy, and the dog feels it naturally. And he at the same time, the dog at the same time, will let you know either stop that or there has consequences to what you're doing that you may not like.
What?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. If he's very strong and you begin to, you begin to project this energy toward him, you'll see a change. He will, what we call, make himself large. You know how a peacock spreads its feathers and makes itself large, and to fend off, it's a defense system that it has to make other animals, predators, believe it's larger than what it really is.
Right.
And so if you press a dog like this and it's really strong, you'll see it make itself large. It's a way they stand. It's a body movement, the way they stand. And then you might hear a low growl.
Yeah.
And you see the position of the dog change, that it will not back up. And you see it move, make a step forward. Then you know you better back off with your energy. It better back off. And you better back off and get out of that situation, because he's letting you know, I'm willing to do this that you evidently is trying to show me you want to do.
Exactly.
So understanding the science of this, you know, and just like one that complies, I tell the people what the dog is going to do before they see the dog do it, because I know what that energy will compel the dog to do, that acknowledges that your energy is greater. That dog will either, first, it will back up, second, it will turn its head from side to side, which is showing you an avoidance behavior, that it don't want to deal with this. Next, when it can't run or get away, you'll see him, he'll sit down. Sit down is a way of complying and saying, okay.
Right.
And if you press it even further, it will lay down. And when it lay down, it's telling you, I respect your power completely. I offer no resistance. And if you press it even further, then not only would it lay down, it will roll over on its side of back and expose its vulnerable body parts in a way of saying, I know you will kill me, and I respect your power.
Yeah.
All that is done with pure energy.
Yeah, with our energy.
Yeah.
And see, that this is definitely one of the points I want to make today, and it's how in the language energy is there, and it's how you transmit the language to where you can touch those whom you're trying to touch with that energy. Now, with some people, you know, it's kind of like you said earlier about the receptor. Some people just not going to get it, and that's okay, because it's not their time to receive what it is that you're trying to convey to them. But however, those that do, it's like when they're ready to try to do something different or to change their lives and circumstances. That's when, like the Kabbalion says, that's when the teacher appears. You know, the Bible put it in these words. It says in him, because I know I've made mention of the supreme wisdom earlier. But the Bible says these words. It says, in him we live, move, and have our being. You know, we live. How, question to everybody, how do you live now? You know, we live by the word that we came to live, to know and understand. We came to accept a language and a lifestyle that causes us to move differently, to act differently, to walk differently through the rocky and smooth roads of life. It's just like Brother was saying about the dog. Man, you know, it's a certain energy that you can, that is presented to the dog, because the dogs they understand energy more so now, I would think, than we do, brother, because if you see the way the human beings just react to each other today, man, it seems like a lot of receptors are off base today, man. I mean, I just heard something yesterday that was so crazy to me. You gonna get out and start shooting because a man was saying that he can run faster than you. And so at a barbershop, the guy got mad because of that. You know, I mean, now if the other guy would have read his energy, because I'm pretty sure, cause you know how we are, brother, we very boastful. If it's something that if we good at basketball, we're good at football. Because I had to correct my son at a young age when he was playing football, and they would see another team, and then his other teammates would talk about, man, they trash. When I heard him say that once, I corrected him in a way. I told him, because if you go out there on that field, being too cocky, you're going to lose to the ones that don't have their ability over you. Don't you know, boy, they gave them the worst type of wins for them because they went out there with the wrong mindset. Oh, these people are trash. You don't do that because you don't know what's channeling through other people. But if you are tuned up to, you can sense. Well, brother, you're going too far. Kind of just like what you just said about that dog. Look now, you're going too far now. And that's why I say what you were saying definitely closely relates to us as human beings. So
it's really
so,
not that
you know,
much different.
It's not.
People would be surprised. People would really be surprised. It's really that much difference. We have, let's say, we have evolved. We're not trapped, basically, where they are trapped.
Yeah.
And their life requires, let's say, they have all of what they need for the life and time that they live.
Right.
And we are, if you want to look at us as species, we have evolved, more expanded. Our range is so much greater. Our capacity is so much greater. And primarily, you know, you have to really study the brain to understand why we have such great capacity and such range of expansion that makes us very unique when it comes to other species of life on our planet.
Right. You know, one of the things I've been kind of like meditating on for a few weeks now, it is how us as human beings, man, we have the tendency, we have to always define everything. And I mean everything we see, we got to put a symbol or object or a label onto it. But when you study the animals, they just know how to exist. Because I was looking at like a snake, and then you look at a bird, you look at a cow. These animals, they don't call themselves that. They just exist. We named them, but they don't know themselves to be that. You know what I'm saying? We named them. In everything that we see, like the tree exists, but the tree don't know that it's a tree. You know, we named that a tree, but the tree just exists. Man, we have lost a lot of things because of, as you say, the way our brains are wired.
The way we are wired.
We don't know how. Yes, sir.
I'd say yes. The way we are wired, we're
yeah.
It's not that the tree is it, but you see, when you using language here, and the language that you're using, say what we are speaking here, is a type of broken English, right?
Yeah.
And what we are doing is classifying other life and things on the planet for our purpose. It's for our purpose we do that.
Right.
You know, that's why we do it. It's for our purpose.
Exactly. It's for our purpose. And the Quran do speak about that all the sun, moon, and stars, all is subservient to man. It speaks on that.
It
really is. But then when you look at the beauty of understanding that when you see a bull or a wildebeest, you know what I'm saying? You see these things and they just, no other way I can say it, they just exist. They know they exist. You know, they go according to their nature.
Yes, they do. Yes. They go according to their nature.
And I was looking at this video of this man. He handles anacondas out of all things to handle. This man handle anacondas. And the anacondas know him on sight. So he comes and around them, and they come up to him. And he sat there kind of like what you do with the dog. This man do this with the anaconda snake. And he sits up, and behold, and the little snake come up to him. Well, not the little snake. That's a huge snake. Come up to him, man, be looking at him eye to eye. And he be sitting up there, and it's just like he's one of them.
Well,
man.
He's not.
That's what I'm
telling you this here. Reptilian brain. No, he's not. But I commend him for his knowledge of anacondas, and particularly snakes and maybe. But the anaconda, especially, he's very much aware of the nature of the snake, that particular one.
Yeah.
Indeed. And so what it looks like to the observer of this, it's very amazing what he's doing.
Right.
But to him, it's really not that much because he understands how that works, how the nature of the snake, what it works.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I've seen this once with a guy about lions, who'd be around lions and things.
Oh,
he knows just when to be around the lions, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you can see it about the Jane Goodall, I think it's her name. Around the chimpanzees.
Oh, good on.
People who learn the nature of things, once you understand the nature of things, it can make you look very amazing to observers, others who observe because they don't, the wider grouping of people are not aware of what you're aware of. So it make you look unique and special, et cetera. This also has an interplay with the Godhead or figurehead among whom we identify in the society of people and how and why we do it. You know, but that's another subject.
Right, exactly. And brother, I'm a good observer, when you look at why people climb mountains, and that is one of the hardest physical acts that one can do in one's lifetime. You know, just think on that, because for whatever reason, I've been thinking on a picture came to me this week of Moses leading out a people, but what was stressed to me in this picture was the object that Moses had in his hand. The staff, and it's just like, man, people always gotta have an object, you know what I'm saying, in order just to move and act. and nothing wrong with that's what gets you moving. So I started thinking about the climbing of a mountain, especially Mount Everest. And boy, when I say that is one of the hardest physical acts that one can do in your lifetime, I mean, think on it. You start at the base. And I'm saying this to those of you, because like Brother mentioned, and we're talking about energy, you know, sometimes you can just, whenever you do these shows, you can just bounce off people's energy. You don't see them. You just know that sometimes things come from you that is really resounding in a person's nature and where they are right now. But you know, you start at the base of a mountain, at the ground level, don't think on it. And you look up at the summit of the mountain. We're going to use Mount Everest. 29,141 feet above the earth is where that summit sits. You start your climb with the idea, just like you do in life, you want to come up with a business idea, you're going to come up with an idea to do something. You always start off with the idea that I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it to the top. We always start that way until the challenges come in. And believe me, you are going to face many challenges before you reach the summit, whether the summit of the mountain or the summit in your life. Before you can say these words, I have made it. You know, brother, you know, to climb a mountain and have the greatness of idea to think that I'm going to make it to the top of the summit of life, you know, it is a great testimony of your spirit and mind and endurance to stay the course. But the first test that you are going to wrestle with, and brother, you can chime in on this, is your mind. You know, you made the decision that you were going to reach the summit, but the rest of your mind didn't agree with you. You know, and the rest of your other mind and your body will start to send message through the nervous system, and your muscles is going to start to contract and tighten with every step. So the muscles start sending messages through the nervous system asking, what the hell are you doing out there? Right?
Well,
then you have to silence your mind, you know, by contending with the flood of doubt and thoughts to turn you around. You know what I'm saying? At that point. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just saying, what you're saying is your subconscious programming is not supporting right. Your conscious decision.
That's right.
And so it makes the journey more difficult when it's like that, because
right.
You have something that is sabotaging your efforts.
Right.
And it's you. It ain't nobody else. It's just the programming that's in you is not supporting your conscious decision to climb the mountain. We all have
right.
great aspirations to do many things. But you'll find a greater portion of the society of people never achieve it. Only a
mm-hmm.
very small portion achieve it. So early programming is very, very important. That's why it's a when you're talking about life in this sense, especially human life, you need a very, say, intelligent and, we'll say, courageous female.
Right.
In sustaining and that life and birthing that life. You need a, the female is highlighted there because she
right.
is playing the most integral part in shaping that life. So
right.
that's where she is really highlighted. And see, this is a subject that's so sensitive, we don't want to deal with that. It's a subject that have to be dealt with by us
mm-hmm.
as well as it's dealt with by other societies, which is breeding.
Right.
But
mm-hmm.
we don't want to deal with subjects like that. and will and can become very hostile at anyone else
mm-hmm.
who want to go there and deal with that. So subjects like that, it's best discussed among those minds that can appreciate that. If we are doing this, say, among, you know, I know how to produce
mm-hmm.
Dogs that my clientele really want for their aim and purpose. And that is because I understand genetics and what is involved in order to do that.
Right.
And so that's the scientific mind. And we don't want to deal with certain things like that when it comes to humans. But it's very
mm-hmm.
important that we deal with things like that when it comes to humans. if not, especially humans that have been exposed to what we've been exposed to, it is
right.
absolute. It is an absolute a necessity that we deal with things like that. Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
you keep trying to produce a thoroughbred by putting a horse and a mule together.
Right, right.
You
That's
understand?
Right. Oh,
it's
yeah.
never going to give you what you want to run the race that you need to win in. You understand?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In order to do that, you know, you must know and understand how to connect and how to process that, in other words, in order to get
mm-hmm.
what you want. And it's just that approach. We're really away from that subject, but I will say this and leave it there. That is a problem with us every day, whereas we want many things.
Mm-hmm.
Either we don't know how to achieve it, or we don't have the courage.
Right.
To do it.
Mm-hmm.
And those
exactly.
two things right
exactly.
there can definitely hold you back from achieving what it is you want to achieve.
Right. Right.
Lack of knowledge.
Because you got to have a you got to have a well-made up mind. And sometimes you have to be stubborn, too, because your mind will be trying to pull you away from it, from your goal and achievement. Brother, we coming up on the top of the hour. We're going to take a break here. know, since we're talking about the climbing of a mountain, through the Fair Use Act, I'm going to play Joe Cocker's and Jennifer Warren song that came from 1985. We'll be back on the narrative. It came out in 1985 by Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warren for a movie soundtrack, which was called Officer and a Gentleman. And I kind of like those words, especially there's a part in the song where he says that all we have is here and now. The road is long. There are mountains in our way. And just before we left for the break, and that's what we are relating to today. And you know, when you get ready to start that climb with that mountain, that's a decision, man, that you got to make. You know, and you know, you talking about everybody start off good, you know, with good intentions, bro. Bro, Ali, he said, hey, I'm going to make this. I'm going to conquer this. When I get up there, I'm going to call my uncle, call my family, and let them know. I'm going to video from the top of the summit. But, boy, when you make that step, like Joe Cocker was saying, that's all. But you climb every day with that each step. Going up that mountain, man, you're gonna realize something that your decision is to keep going and keep pushing, because the idea to make it to the summit is stronger in you. You know, it's inside of you, the idea, and you're gonna have to succumb and not succumb to the doubt that is going to permeate your mind at a certain point in time. That's where the stubbornness is going to have to come in. Right, brother? You're going to have to make sure that, look, man, I'm going to do this regardless. That's your first step. But, brother, that second step, because the higher you go, that's when you got to start looking into overcoming the earthly condition. And that is heat. Depending on what time of year you go, there's heat. It's the wind that comes into play. Then the snow. Then the thinning of the air. Those conditions start rolling in like life, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Some things you want. These conditions you got to face up to. But you can do it with understanding. You know, go ahead, because I was just going to say this,
no.
That the climb and its conditions is not for the faint of heart. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was going to say, it's like pain, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, if you got a pain, you know, You want that pain to go away, right?
Right.
And, man, so you want to take whatever. You want to take a certain brand of medication to take it away.
Yeah.
Or something. You just want it gone because it creates such a discomfort for you, right?
Yes.
And so you hate pain. Most people hate pain. Pain is absolutely necessary. It's necessary.
Right.
To really protect the body.
That's true.
And but we need to learn that and learn the importance of it. So we won't hate it. We will simply have a different attitude about it. And having a different attitude about it alone tends to, what, diminish the pain from being as intense otherwise as it would be.
Right, right.
Just a change of your attitude. See,
mm-hmm.
We, lack of knowledge of self, you know, is not allowing us to take advantage of a lot of things that are right here with us.
Mm-hmm.
Because we lack knowledge of self. We produce,
right?
You know, and it's important to have understanding that we produce chemicals.
Right.
We produce chemistry right within our own beings that can aid us in just everything you can think about. It just aid us, but
mm-hmm.
And we can do it. We can do it consciously. We can consciously do it. So
right.
When you lack knowledge of self, again, as the scripture said, my people die. My people perish. From what? The lack of knowledge.
Lack of knowledge. Yep.
You know, so one needs to consider themselves more and learn more concerning the self, as we're talking about. And communication, even. Communication is going on in us all the time. It's communicating. You have an internal environment and you have an external environment. But how does it affect us? How does it affect us? It is so impactful how it affects us that we couldn't imagine it. It impacts the way we determine reality.
That's right.
I mean, and so all of that, again, is coming to know and understanding the self. And we can understand all of these wonderful things, and we won't feel so powerful. Said knowledge is power, right?
Right.
Well, what is the lack of knowledge? A very little knowledge, very little power.
Yeah, very little.
And you need power to do what? You need power to what? To make stuff happen. And the reason we are, let's say, the reason we are, we feel so oppressed, and the reason we feel so victimized is because we do not know how to activate the power, or not courageous enough to activate the power in order to change our immediate condition. So we back at communication and language.
Right. I've studied metaphysics for a few years, and one of the main things that most practitioners understand, in if you study that type of type teaching and knowledge, or science rather, is this here, brother, is that the real world is not the physical world. The real world is the inner world. And for the most part, a lot of like you said, brother, if you got a lack of knowledge of that, and you're constantly looking outward for the things that you need instead of looking and bringing it about from inward, then you will have low power, low energy, low understanding. Your battery is just practically dead, and somebody needs to hook up some potassium to get it back going again. I mean, everything, and that's one of those principles. I don't know why, you know, when Caucasians get their hands on something, they always want to put it up on a cover, you know, and charge extravagant monies to people to teach this. But black man and woman, Mexican man and woman, any nationality on this planet, don't you know that everything that you see came from out of the darkness of the mind first, before it became manifest? Everything. And that's where, bro, we got to turn that whole thing around. But it seems like, man, the scales are on so many people's eyes, they can't even see beyond just a simple thing, a simple example, or just creating something from an idea and put it into motion. I mean, you can't function without that particular aspect of the human psyche. You're going to have to see things in the mind first before you make it manifest. And that's one of the hardest things to get over to people, brother. Why do you think that is?
Why do I think?
Yeah, why do you think that's hard for people to grasp?
You mean conceiving something?
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Manifesting it?
Yeah.
Well, we talk
we
about
do it every
it,
day.
It's just we do it all the time. That's part of that process. You know, what can you say? It's just lack of knowledge and lack of understanding of self. And that means they lack the education required to be able to know and understand. You see, so the Honorable Elijah Muhammad always stressed education is an absolute necessity. You know,
mm-hmm.
We have to self-educate. Self-educate. If you complaining about American and white people's schools and things, get your own. Build your own.
Get your own. Yeah. That's right. That's right.
If you're not willing to build your own, then shut your mouth and be grateful.
Yeah.
That's a harsh reality. And that's a harsh reality, and not many of our brothers and sisters would necessarily appreciate that, what I said, but it's just a truth we have to deal with. If you
right.
are complaining about what you don't have and how someone else ought to make provisions for you to have it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what an ill fella that is not to consider you,
right.
then, man, you like a, what did they say, you howling at the moon.
Right.
You know.
Right.
White people have a right to it doesn't matter what they say in the institutions and constitutions and things like that.
Yep.
Being that they originated them, they have a right to change them or apply them as they so see fit. To the spoils, to the conqueror goes
yep.
the spoils. And
yeah.
we don't want to deal with that. As long as we refuse to deal with those kinds of things, we continue to suffer what we suffer. To the conqueror goes the spoil. You know, so he conquered. He conquered. He said, they said, you being cold, man. You shouldn't say them kind of things. Hey, all I'm saying is what happened. He conquered. He
mm-hmm.
brought us here. He made slaves out of them. He had the knowledge to do that. He did it. In turn, he controlled us where we utilized our powers to make him the strongest people on the planet and the richest, the wealthiest.
Mm-hmm.
And so that let us know we do have what? Knowledge, and we do have power. We just don't want to use it for self. Why? Because we're scared of dealing
yeah.
with the consequences in doing for self. So we remain in poverty and we remain enslaved and we complain about it. We go to the streets and we vent. We vent.
Yeah.
We protest. Protest is just a means of venting your frustration. That's why you're allowed to do it, and there's no real say about it other than this is the freedom you have in the country to protest. And after you protest for so long, what, and vent for so long, you go home. And you may
mm-hmm.
still complain about it, but it's under your breath. And stuff
yeah.
remains the same. And every now and then,
yeah.
he will give you a privilege. He will give you a reward. And you will feel, well, I I got something out of the deal. Come on, man. You know, that's, you know, hey, we have to realize certain things and accept certain things. Truth,
mm-hmm.
in other words. And if we fail to do it, we will remain in this position unchanged, being what we are today.
Yeah, because deep down inside of it, one reason why I say, why do you think that is because, brother, I can see it just like the Bible speaks about a man when Jesus approached a man who saw men as trees. No man ain't no tree, but that was because the man had a damaged perception. But it took a master teacher to teach him, put a little spittle in his eyes. And then when he asked him, how do you see men now? Then he said, I see men as they are. See, something has to happen first in order to break you out of that hamster wheel, so to speak. Because that's all you're doing. You own it, and you're constantly going around. In a circle, you run, and then some of the hamsters, you look at them here, they start running and still not going nowhere.
That's right. That's right.
So you know, and getting back to talking about climbing that mountain, you know, brother, you will be tested, and there have been many men and women that have died on the climb up. And on the climb down, this is why the climbing of a mountain is one of the most physical sports that one can enter into all over the world. There's nothing that can be compared to it. People in Alaska talk about the Iliad races, you know, in Alaska. It can't be compared to the football, baseball, hockey, basketball, tennis. Can't compare. Because you are challenging your physical life when you climbing a mountain.
Well, brother.
Yeah.
I tell you this. I tell you some comparison.
Yes, sir.
You know what a comparison is? Life itself.
Come on. Yep.
Bruh, let me tell you something. When we, as we are, or emitted into the vagina of our mothers, and we start to swim. We start to swim so that we can manifest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're trying to do. The programming, the messaging, the material is trying to get to a place where it can be whole and manifest
what
it is, right?
Right.
That's an incredible journey, brother. Let me tell you something.
It sure is.
And I'm going to tell you something. Ain't no sperms that are making that journey are looking and trying to aid one another
in that
course. And you don't see no sperm going back to try to help the other one that's trapped.
Yeah.
You don't see that. You don't see another one communicating to another. Say, bro, you got to come on. You got to come on with it.
Yeah.
No, ain't none of that going on. All of them are trying to get to that place because guess what? They know that time is involved.
Yeah.
And they only have a certain amount of time to reach destination before what? All of their energy is used up.
Yeah.
And when of their energy is used up, you have to understand the body, the body.
Uh-huh.
If once all of their energy is used up, then they can't move. And we refer to that as what? Death. They are dead.
Right. Right.
So all of them are swimming their butt off trying to get there. And they going to, I mean, that you start off that way. So if you start off that way, what happens? That's one environment, right?
Right.
That is the internal environment where all of that is going on. But nevertheless, it's an environment.
Right.
When you eventually, yes, it is. When you eventually come into this environment, it's like the what is it? The struggle is eerie. The struggle is real, brother. What are you doing in
yes,
this
it
one?
Is. Right.
You the struggle goes on. You're trying to what? Manifest.
Oh, you're trying to make it. Yeah, you're trying to make it.
You're trying to get to that point. You're trying to get to that point. Whereas you can manifest.
Mm-hmm.
And just like in the womb, what? How many die?
Oh boy.
How many die? Millions.
Millions. Millions. Yep.
Millions. And How many died here?
Oh,
same thing.
Yeah, same thing.
It's a balance.
Same thing.
It's a
That's
balance.
Right.
Because as what? As so many die, so many are studying coming into this environment, right?
Coming back into the environment. Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Everybody trying to manifest.
Right.
You see? So sitting and waiting on your brother, sitting and waiting on your sister. Oh, hell no.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
You got to manifest.
Right. And that's why I say the language got to change. The language got to change in you.
Man...
Just like going back to what that guy talking about, he's seeing trees instead of physical human being. You know what I'm saying? That is a damaged perception, but that also points to a person that constantly look out. You're looking out without understanding, but you're not really bringing it from within. But you know, brother, and I'm glad you hit that talk about how the sperm dies. And when it did not make its goal, you know what I'm saying? But you know, if somewhere down up the climb of Mount Everest, there's what is called the 4,000 mark right up there. Okay, and that's 4,000 feet away from the summit, right? And that's called the death zone. And don't you know that up in that particular area, it's so much snow to where people would die right there, and the snow just covers them up. There's a whole bunch of bodies up there. Bones that's up there. Because many people have died because of the damage of frost. You know, you got a lot of people that suffer from the frostbite up there because of the snow condition. They die because of their heart or whatever. But what I find interesting is that when you reach the summit, all of that weariness, the fatigue, the pain, the battle of self, the doubt, all goes away at the summit. In fact, you are standing taller than the mountain, taller than the earth at that point. Because, and the reason why I say that, I'm going to make that point for somebody who heard that. Like, what? Taller than the taller than the mountain, of course, because the mountain is 29,141 feet. However, based on your height and where you stand, now you are standing taller than the mountain. That's my point. And at the earth at that particular time, you were standing right there. Now, brother, he pointed that out beautifully about saying you want to become manifest. After you made such a climb like that, you manifest something within yourself now and through that view that you're seeing, but it's more important than just what you see. Go ahead, brother, what you going to say?
I was just going to say you're the conqueror.
Yes.
You conquered it.
Right.
You're at the top of your game. The reason you feel so good is the chemistry in you changed.
Yes.
The chemistry in you changed. When the chemistry, changed. Once that chemistry changed, you feel what? Elated.
Right.
And
right.
What did I say to you about pain?
Oh, yeah.
It's changing your chemistry, and you'll find that the pain that you feel is not so intense. There's something else that can make you feel so much better, you won't even think about the pain.
Right. Because that is a spiritual component to
chemistry. The chemistry that you're making inside as a result of what? Your change of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, your change of
thought,
your thinking. It affects your chemistry in every way, positive and negative.
Right. That's right.
So we don't take the time to study these things, so we don't know them, and we don't know how we can benefit by them greatly. It's all there. But
that's right.
And so what, you get up to Mount Everest, you can't hardly breathe, the oxygen level is so low, got to be have the oxygen mask on. Your body is being controlled by what? Your mind.
By your mind.
You see? Yeah. And your mind don't feel no pain.
Right.
Check it out.
I mean,
neither does your brain.
No, it sure
your
don't.
Your brain don't feel no pain.
That's right.
This body feels all of the pain, and it feels the pleasure too. So if you're in control, if you're really in control,
right,
then you can adjust your chemistry with the way you think, in order to diminish the impact of the pain.
That's right.
Yeah,
oh, man,
look how
beautiful that is. Yeah. This is the beauty of language, everybody. You know, you have to, as Brother said, we're talking chemistry. But guess what put chemistry in motion? Thought. Ideas. A word, be and it is. It's a spiritual component to everything that we do in life. And if you start changing the way you think, then a different language pattern will emerge from you. And those that are around you, who is wicked at mind, wicked at heart, they would not want to be around you anymore because you're not speaking their language. That's why I was saying about at the beginning of the program that language can help to separate. It can help to divide. It can do everything.
Tell me about it.
To reach that summit, bro. Yeah, go ahead, brother. You just gonna say something?
No, I was just saying, or should I say, we can do that ourselves with language. You know,
that's
how
right.
You use it. In other words, you say, you see it happening all the time because these things you see occurring all the time in the society. You know, you and your wife supposed to love one another, right?
Right.
But in the use of language, in the use of signaling, in the use of messaging, you see, you send the wrong one, bro. You see a whole nother different behavior exhibited.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, like, where did that come from? It's how it was received, processed, and after being processed, determined to be real, even though it's wrong. And the first thing is, yeah, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean it like that. Well, there's other things that affect that.
Right.
And one of the things that affect that strongly is memory.
Right.
So, it's same way with the animal, you know. It's like, it is very, we done just forgot so much, it ain't funny. But with the, just say with the animal, like the dog, it said, man, I took my dog, 20 miles away from home. I was getting lit up. Man, at the end of the week, that dog was right on my front porch. How the hell did he find his way back? You know, a simple thing like that is how he's able to do that deals with memory in the environment. And familiarity with those things in the environment in various geographical areas. So as he moves in a direction, he smells things. He hears things.
Right.
These are simple receptors. You see, and he's associating them with other things that he always have already have in his memory bank.
Yeah.
And then he follows the scent. He follows what he hears. And then he started, connecting with other things in the environment that he has familiarity with, that is close by where he's originally from.
Mm-hmm.
And the more and more he travels in a certain direction, the closer he starts getting to where he's from, because he's picking up now on more scents and things he hears that are relatives and things that he sees are relatives, and that is all there, and he's able to eventually work his way right on back to the house.
Right.
He said, damn, man. I might as well keep his old behind. I can't get rid of him. I might as well
can't
keep
get rid of him.
You see? I said, I can't get rid of him because he's going to come right back.
Right, right.
So you know, we are communicating all the time, brother.
Yeah.
We're communicating all the time because that's what we're talking about, communication, signaling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all the time. I mean, you know, if we take just words, right, and use words, man, words change all the time. Words change all the time. And we really do a thing with words.
Right, right.
Right? We talk about money. We call it cash at one time.
Yeah.
We call it paper at another time.
Yeah.
We call it cheddar at another time. at all time. We just changing the names all the time. And it all of those names have what? They have dual meanings. If a person who is not familiar with but one, they hear cheddar, well, they think of cheese.
Mm-hmm.
They ain't thinking of no money. They think, what is he talking about, cheese? See, everything's
right.
Cheap to cheese. They trying to process that. How is well, you know, when you look at it from another man's view, living in the ghetto like a rat. Well,
yeah.
That's valuable to a rat. Cheddar.
Mm-hmm.
Cheddar
oh, yeah.
is a type of cheese. You know, I'm just
right.
showing you all of these concepts, man. So we
yeah.
processing all the time. All of, we got to be on it.
Exactly. I mean, it's just like that climb, man, to that summit, man. Because once you hit that summit, boy, you talking about like the jubilation. You feel good about yourself. But when you realize the one of the main things that you realize about yourself that you conquered all obstacles, all conditions that was unfavorable, and it's the same way in life. You know, if you were to ask any climber, how do you feel after they reach the top? They will say, awesome, fantastic. But the unspoken thought will be, I feel like a god. You know, I feel like a god.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes. I mean, I feel like a god. Is that something to be ashamed of, or is it something to understand? You know, no, let's get some deep water here, you know.
Yeah.
Because to climb a mountain is to overcome much adversity, setback, and like you said, brother, pain. And to reach the height of spiritual and physical existence, to become one with yourself, is to become one with the creator who created the mountain and all of the creation that your eyes can behold while you're up there at that summit. The Quran teaches that man seldom, and we're going to put woman in this too, seldom to want to attempt the uphill road. Why? You know, it is because we are created in haste. We just got through talking about the sperm. According to the book, that we also impatient. And when you're climbing a mountain or any hill, whether you are in Texas or Tennessee, it takes patience, endurance, and strength to make it to the top. Because, boy, your legs going to start screaming at you. Right, brother?
Yeah, it can be labor for sure. You know, you got views. It's like you got many views. You have people living all over the world and their concepts and how they vary, you know, and
mm-hmm.
and language is following suit. Language is not static.
Right.
It's fluid. So
right.
as a result, what I refer to as the wise man is a little story about a master that lived on the mountain. And a tragedy had occurred down in the village below the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And so the whole village was sad and grieving because of this tragedy. And so they sent for the great master on the mountain. And the master came down. They sent for him so that he could bring back the peace to the village, that they could move on. And when he sat and the whole village gathered around, waiting on the great message, he said, "And this too shall pass away."
Mm-hmm.
And then he got up. And he went back up the mountain. And this too shall pass away.
Shall pass away.
See, we have so many problems because of our attachment.
Right.
We have
oh,
a
I
whole
like
lot
that.
Of problems due to attachment. If you,
yeah.
if you go to
yeah,
a funeral,
like
man, you go to a funeral and somebody just pass came in this world, this part that you see right now,
right,
it was already going to come to this point. And this too shall pass away. So it's like, man, I want to make $1,000. I want to make $100,000. I want to make $1 million.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to make all of this. And you can make all of that. And what? You find out it really ain't nothing. So everybody's looking for that, what? Fulfillment.
Right.
They're looking for that fulfillment. And the master was saying, the fulfillment that you're looking for is understanding.
Right.
Don't cling to anything. Don't cling to anything. Not even your breath.
Mm-hmm.
Not even your breath. So that may not be what many want to hear, but it's going in the end. I don't care how you struggle to keep your breath. What?
Right.
It's going. It's going.
Yeah. It's going. That's right. And it goes back to talking about like how the animals approach life. They just exist. You know, they just exist. And I know it sounds simple and simplistic, but some of the most powerful wisdom that you're going to find is in the simplistic state of thought. I mean, because just remember now, you know, when you attempt the uphill road with anything of value, you're going to run into unfavorable conditions and circumstances that would test every fiber of your being and will.
I mean,
once you reach your goal in life, climb, you come face to face with the ultimate journey of oneness with the Supreme One and the life force that dwells within you. Then you would find that the world don't seem so complicated anymore. Start entering into conversations with the Supreme Being. Well-pleasing conversations. I heard a brother the other day online. This brother is talking about, man, God is, you can tell God is angry with us. COVID, he brought all his, but see, he was throwing curse words in it also.
Yeah.
He said, then now God start effing with the chicken wing. Chicken wing. We talk about you got to have meaningful conversations or else the God
wish,
can't hear
I
you.
I wish you hadn't said that. I wish you had. I didn't need to hear that, brother.
Stupid stuff, man. How do you expect for the Supreme Being to hear you putting out such low frequencies like that? That's
well,
reason why
know,
we say the word supreme there. There's a reason that was thrown in there, supreme wisdom. Like you had said on another show, that means above all, right?
Yes.
So the Quran says this. The Quran says this. When you talk about in conversations with God, it says that all soul that is at rest, well pleased with thy Lord, and thy Lord well pleased with thee. Notice the words, all souls that are at rest. Are you at rest with yourself? Are you well pleased with your life? If you are not well pleased with your life, then change it. Change your environment. That's the importance of coming into higher knowledge, because the language will change and therefore the people will change around you as well. You have to change it, because I hear from some of you, and y'all ready to, because something is irritating you from within. Even though you still cling to your Latrian cigarette, your marijuana, your alcohol, you cling to these things because it's an object. But what type of man or woman would you be if those things didn't exist anymore? Some think about it, huh, bro. You got about 10 minutes. 10 minutes in the program, brother.
Okay.
So yeah, this has been definitely a spiritual thing. Journey, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying that communication, you know, you look at people that are blind, they can still communicate. You look at people who are deaf, they can still communicate. Mm-hmm. And they can also receive communication, you know, and process it whereas they can understand the message that is being sent to them. So
right.
It's a great subject. It's a great subject, language. And at some other time, you may decide to go even deeper into it because it is a great subject. And because when we look at how do we communicate with the Supreme Being, that's really powerful there.
Oh, yeah.
And that's really powerful. And I think that is worth discussing when it comes to language.
Right, right. Matter of fact, we can do that next week. We can do that next week because this is something I want to make sure we're thorough on in understanding. Because like you were saying that before the I think it was either after the before we closed out on the break, we made mention about the woman in the womb and also but dealing with the you know, like the breathing, which a lot of people don't like to talk about. But I remember back in the 80s, Brother Farrakhan did a 3-part series on that, and it's in the name of it is called How to Give Birth to a God, and you can pull it up on YouTube. And don't you know that that the minister, when he did that speech, then here we are in probably a good 10 years ago, the white man started talking about that, oh, you can read to the baby in the womb and it'll make them smarter. But they got that from the nation. Because the minister was the only one that put that out the way he did, and anybody that hears that was done in 1985. Being Caucasians, as what they normally do, they like Christopher Columbus. They always discovering stuff that was already here.
Well, if you ain't created nothing but mischief, then what else can you hope?
You know, that's
what it is. You know, he's a mischief maker. So, but when it in science, they don't deny that. They tell you, they'll tell you that all of these so-called discoveries that they're doing is found to be very old. And they have, how you would say, these things that they're finding out, as you would say in a book like The Rebellion, is about transmuting. Well, in modern science today, these things have been utilized for them to make a whole lot of things. that are beneficial to them and others.
Right. That's true. And brothers and sisters, this language thing, man, I tell you, if you're looking for a way out of your situation, this type of show, what we talking about language and then elevating your thoughts, man, brother, let me read something from a book. I have read this week. The book is called Guaranteed Solution. And in a section, it's from a teacher there in India. And in this section, it's called From Discontent to Gratitude. And this little story was given here of a little girl. Okay, and let me read this. Okay, it says, one day, the geography teacher in a school asked her students to write down 7 wonders of the world. Now, everybody listen to this. All the kids listed the great wonders like the Great Wall of China, the pyramids, the Eiffel Tower, and so on. But one girl was writing, and she kept writing, shaking her head and continuing to write. The teacher came to her and asked, "What happened? You forgot what you learned?" The little girl said, "No, I am a bit confused. There are so many more than 7. And then the teacher was surprised and took her sheet and read it. And she then read it aloud for her class to hear. The little girl wrote these words, brother. This is beautiful. She said, "The 7 wonders of the world are, I can see, I can touch, I can smell, I can hear, I can taste, I can laugh, I can love." Then it said that the class was suddenly filled with penetrating silence, kind of like that zero you did.
Uh-huh.
It said, "These small things are forgotten because we think that they are small. Everything becomes small to us when it is easily available. There are so many millions of people in this world who can't see, who can't hear, who can't talk, who can't taste. We never think of all those things. We are always thinking of what more, what better, what next, all the time. That's all."
That's really nice.
Yeah.
That's really nice.
And all these things right here, kind of like what you said, the mind, you know, your thoughts and stuff, they don't feel no pain up in there. But the body does. And that was the point, like, from the beginning. We're always looking at the physical. But you need to start dealing with a little bit more time with looking within. Because if you can straighten out what's within, it's going to manifest without. It's kind of like my example of how you walk into a real person that has they have their desk full of papers going on, that is a reflection of what's going on within their mind, because they're constantly have a lot of things running through their mind. So therefore, it manifests itself outward. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh.
All right, brother. You see, we got 20 seconds. It looks like we get ready to wind down. So, you know, what a wonderful show.
Bro.
Yeah, and I pray that everybody got something out of this, because you are more powerful than what you think. All right, brother. Until next week, thank you all for tuning in to the Narrative Part 2.